You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Yesterday, Brian brought his friend and former general manager with the New York Jets, Mike Tannenbaum, hopped on the G-Bag Nation, and they asked him. Now, he came out with a mock draft. Choppy, you can take us through the mock while we listen to Tannenbaum give us his selection for the Cowboys at 10.
There's no place I'd rather be on the planet than in their draft room on draft day, because last year you can make an argument they should have gone offensive line, and C.D. Lamb falls to them. And in my mock draft, I have Kyle Pitts on the board with Patrick Surtain, and what in the world does Jerry Jones do if there's a good offensive player like Kyle Pitts on the board when they need a defensive player?
Take Pitts! Come on, what'd you do, Mike? Did you take Pitts?
No, I took Patrick Surtain.
No, what are you doing, Mike?
I'm trying to win a championship.
I'm trying to win a championship. So take us through the top to 10 on how he has Pitts and Surtain still on the board.
All right, here we go. Number one, Trevor Lawrence. No surprise. Number two, Zach Wilson to the Jets. No surprise. Number three, San Francisco, Mac Jones. Number four, Atlanta. He does have them taking a quarterback, Trey Lance.
Okay, and the word from Schefter is Atlanta trying to move out of that, or they're taking a lot of phone calls to get out of that. So they either want a quarterback lower, or they don't care about getting one of these quarterbacks at all.
Right, so theoretically, Lance there works. It fits. It's just not with Atlanta.
Right.
Because you're not trading up to get a non-quarterback at number four. Number five, Penei Sewell, Oregon. He goes to Cincinnati. Number six, Miami. No quarterback here. Jamar Chase, wide receiver, LSU. Number seven, Detroit. Jalen Waddle, wideout, Alabama. Number eight, Carolina. Justin Fields. There's a quarterback.
Yes.
So you've got five going in the top eight. Five quarterbacks in the top eight.
Right now, as it stands, before Denver at nine, I'm loving this setup. If I'm the Cowboys,
they have everything they possibly could want.
I have Slater as a possibility, who Brian brought us, said one of his football buddies told him could be compared maybe to Zach Martin. I got both corners. If somebody is in love with Kellen Mond, I could have that. But I got Mac Jones sitting there as well. For someone who wants to move up, I got Mac Jones on the board. I got both corners, and I have the stud offensive lineman in Slater, and I have, of course, the fan favorite Kyle Pitts.
Right.
Woo! Like it.
It's great. It's fantastic. Like, this is setting up the way it is as a couldn't be better scenario. Now, number nine, Denver. Denver's a wild card. Denver could go in a million different directions.
Yeah,
you know, if there's a quarterback on the board, they could take one. If there's a wideout on the board, they could take one. They could take Kyle Pitts. They could take a defensive player. Vic Fangio, right? He's still their coach. He is a defensive-minded guy, which means he would love to have a defensive guy. And they've got them going with Micah Parsons, linebacker from Penn State. I mean, it's just.
Oh, yeah. Oh, all the options we just named in Denver theoretically would not take one off the board right there. Oh, we'll be partying on draft night.
Partying on draft night, which means that at number 10, the Cowboys will have on the board Patrick Surtain, Kyle Pitts. They will have on the board DeVonta Smith. They will have J.C. Horn. They will have Rashawn Slater. They will have Caleb Farley. Cool. They will have everybody possibly you could ask for on the board at number 10. And he has them going with Patrick Surtain. And the write-up. Last year, Dallas needed defense, took advantage of C.D. Lamb. Would it really let Kyle Pitts go if it came to this, despite a glaring need on the other side of the ball? Man, I'm tempted, and I know Jerry Jones would be too. But the Cowboys can get back to winning ways. They tighten up on defense. That starts with a shutdown corner like Sertan. One thing to know, Patrick's father was a second-round pick in 98. Three Pro Bowls. That really doesn't matter at all.
And then the G-Bag Nation asked Mike Tannenbaum yesterday, why should the Cowboys, why would he select Sertan if he was Jerry and Steven?
Patrick Sertan checks every box, measurables, intangibles, physical. When you look at how he plays, the tape matches his numbers. I just think what they need, they're desperate for somebody opposite Trevon Diggs, and that's, to me, an easy, easy decision.
Okay, we're about to get in to the ultimate first-round argument of BPA, best talent, versus need. And Kavanaugh and Choppy and Dalton Miller and a little bit more of the new school say always take the best player. You want to minimize risk in the first round. The best player and don't play around with a screw-up. And Pat Doney was saying that last week when he was in for you from NBC5.
You know, and we, the new school, the smart people, have amended that. We don't really do BPA anymore. We don't draft players. We don't draft for need. We draft positions. And that's how it is. It's based on, like, if you look at the top 10 is littered with teams who draft best player available. Best player available is bad because best player available could be a defensive tackle. Only a moron takes a defensive tackle at number 5. All right. Or, you know, it could be a linebacker. Micah Parsons is a great player. So it's not best player. I want to amend it. We draft positions in the top. That's what we draft, positions.
Let's just go right down the list, Troy. Forget what I just texted you. Let's just go with cut 16. Does Mike Tannenbaum see Kyle Pitts as a generational player? Since he has the Cowboys, he would take Sertan if he was them at 10. Does he see Kyle Pitts, who would be on the board, as a generational talent?
Yeah, there's no question about it. He can be. But you know what? Like, I remember my first year as a GM, we took the Brickashaw Ferguson and half our building wanted Vernon Davis, who at the time was that generational tight end. And again, I think Pitts is going to be super special, but they have so many great weapons in Dallas. They've done such a great job of amassing talent on that side of the ball. They can't get off the field on third down. They can't rush the passer. But to me, it starts with someone foundationally like Sertan.
And he kept saying during the interview, how many times do you want to lose 49-47? How many times are you going to keep losing 40-37? Because you cannot stop anybody. So the follow-up from G-Bag to former Jets GM Mike Tannenbaum, here we go, the classic argument. You just called him a generational talent at tight end and wideout. Do you have Pitts above Sertan on your own personal board?
I do, but boy, it's close. Pitts is a top 5 player. Right now, Sertan's like a top 8 player for me. And Pitts, to me, again, if we had to go play one game for a championship, we want him on our team. He's a point scorer. You can't cover him with one player. He was dominant, and everyone knew it was coming. I'm just saying, over a 17-game season now, you got to get off the field. And right now, Dallas just doesn't have enough players on the back end to do that.
I'm so confused.
Why?
I mean, you just said Pitts is higher on your board. You just said Pitts is a generational player.
Yep.
But don't worry about him. Go get this other guy because he's going to help your team now. You're admitting to the regrettable mistake that could happen by passing on this guy.
It's the need factor. That's the old school need, that they have nothing on defense. See, to me, and I would love to simulate this with Broadus, if I was Jerry and Steven, I'm going in thinking corner. And I got to get sold. I got to hear it'd be like a Hall of Fame debate. I'd want to be inside the room for the sell jobs from everybody. Here's what I ask my scouts: tell me what Sertan's ceiling is. Can he be? Is this guy a shutdown corner? And I'm serious when I use the word and phrase shutdown. I don't just throw that out there. Is this guy going to lock people up? If he's not going to lock people up, shut down, and you're telling me that Kyle Pitts might be Tony Gonzalez, then you sold me on the tight end and receiver. Someone's going to have to sell me that Patrick Surtain can be as great as Kyle Pitts as a player. Otherwise, with the amount of hype and the versatility this kid has on offense, then I can see the Cowboys doing this at 10, along with my salary cap guy, then telling me he's going to be a Gallup replacement. He's going to be an Amari replacement. We don't have to worry about paying everyone and having everyone on the offensive side of the ball. We need to do something with Gallup. We need to let Amari go, and he will substitute for them as a weapon. But I'm going to have to sit back and get the sell jobs from the scouts that Surtain can be as good as – because when you thought that word generational, man, I don't play around with that. That's crazy. That's impressive.
You have to look at the position and how easy it is to judge whether or not that person's going to reach their peak. It is very difficult to sit there and tell anybody what Patrick Surtain's going to be. You don't know. It is a crapshoot. When you're talking about an offensive pass catcher, you can tell whether or not that person's going to be great depending on if you have a quarterback or not. If you have a quarterback, you can reasonably predict that ball catcher is going to turn out to be a really good player.
But I can also use my quarterback to elevate above average players too. So where the difference between, what is the difference going to be? If I have Dak Prescott throwing, what is the difference in numbers going to be with Kyle Pitts for the next 3 years versus the combo of Blake Jarwin, Dalton Schultz? You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? Like, if I have the great quarterback, many think they have,
he's going to be elite. That's the difference. And the difference between elite and very good at tight end is a huge, cavernous gap. Huge gap. Like, elite tight ends are George Kittle and Travis Kelce. You know, and how many light years ahead of Dalton Schultz are they? Light years. Like, that's a huge difference. And you can reasonably predict, because you've got yourself a great quarterback, or depending on what your term that you want to use for Dak Prescott, you know that he's going to be able to make that player reach their potential. Whereas you can't say that on defense because it is a crapshoot, or on any other, because you don't know. Patrick Surtain is reliant simply on himself and on the scheme fit. Whereas, you know, Kyle Pitts is going to get the, or any pass catcher. CeeDee Lamb was going to be, there was virtually no chance he was going to be a bust because he was going to a team that had a quarterback.
And then I can say, by that same argument, I can say that Cedric Wilson could have just been my three. I could plug anyone in on Peyton Manning's offense. I could plug anyone in on Tom Brady's offense.
But you're not getting elite. You're not getting elite.
How are you going to stop? How are you going to stop anyone? I ask you and all the other guys the same question. No one ever gives me an answer. How are you ever going to stop?
How many points a game do you think a great cornerback, not a great cornerback, but Patrick Surtain would be worth to this team? One, two, maybe one.
I don't.
One point. I don't know. I mean, no one's.
How many touches is Kyle Pitts going to get? There's not enough balls.
Eight to 12 touches a game. That's what he's going to get. He's going to get easy to catch eight passes a game.
I doubt it. Not with everything.
Or at least get eight to 10 targets. They're going to throw the ball 50 times.
It's still important to have very. There's a reason. Corner is still a more highly valued position than tight end.
Yeah, but he's not a tight end. He's not a tight end.
Some would argue it's more important to have a corner than a wideout. And I could argue it's more important to have a corner than a wideout if my quarterback is great, because I can get away with less talent at wideout with the great quarterback.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.